Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Hebrews 6 and verse 11. And you're going to find some familiar things said again here today. And it very much is tied to things that that Pastor Sandy and I are walking through here. But I have learned this: when God calls you to be a pastor, part of that calling is to live your life in such a way open before people that you can cut trail, lead the way, show by example. I'm not Superman where I have, you know, I can defeat anything like that. You know, I'm just a shepherd leading the sheep, but I'm a sheep too.
Amen.
Amen. Often things that I will teach very much come from lessons we're learning, what the Lord is showing me, and some of these things that some of God's people go through is so that they can help others. Now, I'm not saying God is the author of destruction or anything like that. Jesus did say, in the world you shall have tribulation. So though he's given us the victory, there are things that happen that we all wonder how, why, and so on and so forth, and obviously has happened in our lives as well. It should be obvious, but in case there's someone hearing for the first time, whether it be on our live stream, which, by the way, welcome to church here this morning, or hears a recording or watches YouTube or anything later. Pastor Sandy had a brain aneurysm, stroke 4.5 years ago now, and doctors told me it was impossible she'd live through the night. We have been fighting that battle ever since, these 4.5 years, and she's come so far, as most of you have watched over these years, and doing things that were impossible, that are impossible, and she's still growing and doing the impossible. But it's been a journey that I would never wish on anybody. But we have learned how to step by step see the miracle of God unfold, and how to see the promise of God immediately upon her having the blood vessel burst in her brain. She texted out to our pastor, and he sent back a scripture. And that scripture has become the voice of God to us, and we don't let go of that. And it was Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord." And Sandy and I go over that every night, and I'll ask her, "What has God said to us?" And she will just immediately start saying, some of you have been witness to that. If you've been there when we say goodnight and tuck her in, what did the Lord say to us? Do you remember? That's right. Exactly right. So her voice is not strong. In fact, she didn't speak for 3 years. But now she's able to usually whisper. Sometimes you start hearing her voice. It's growing. But she just said, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord." So we're on it. We're taking it forward every day. And we get a little better, and we get a little better, and we get a little better. Before Pastor Ricky last week, the week before, I taught a message I called The Power of Patience. Let's look here at Hebrews 6:11 and verse 12. It says this: "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence of the full assurance of hope until the end." Okay, there's already a clue there. How long do you operate in diligence and full assurance of hope? Till the end. How long, Lord? How long are we going to have to do this? Till you don't have to do it no more. To the end. And I love what Brother Hagin would always say: if you'll prepare to stand forever, it won't be long. Amen. Amen. So you just prepare your heart that you're going to stand your ground for as long as it takes. Amen. So we'll add verse 12. It says that you do not become sluggish. What is sluggish? It's something we all struggle with, including me. Maybe I'll tell you some more about that today, but being unmotivated. Finding it difficult to get up and do what you should do. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those, or follow those, or act like those. Do the same as they do. And it says next, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Elsewhere, the Bible tells us that all the promises of God are in Him, yes and amen. Sometimes we're struggling with, well, God, did you promise or not? That's not the struggle. The struggle is staying in full assurance of hope till the end. His promise is sure. What's not sure is me. So it tells us that those that went before us, it's references to Abraham and the patriarchs, but they, through faith and patience, got the results of what God promised. And if you read your Bibles, listen to good Bible preaching, teaching, you hear the promises of God over and over and over again. If you pay attention a little bit, you'll figure out you don't need to necessarily hear the promise over. Well, we do, but it's not looking for a new promise. It's staying with the one you got.
Amen.
That's the struggle. Remember, I just said a little bit earlier about the D family. That's really where the fight is. Discouragement, depression, despair. All those things, the D family. The D family is a wicked family. Watch out for them and fight them with all that you've got. So through faith and patience, and 2 weeks ago in that message really talked about how it's actually pretty easy to believe God's word, to release faith for it, to receive that promise, and then carry on. What's difficult is sticking with it. Because we often have contrary circumstances. It often looks like, well, I thought I got it, but it don't look like I got it. So then the question is, did I get it? Isn't that right? And there are things that we receive from God quickly in terms of the manifestation. We pray, we believe, release faith, and boom, there it is. Sometimes next day, that kind of thing. But there are many others that it takes a while. There are some things that people stand in faith believing for years. Abraham, who I mentioned earlier, was believing for the promised son of covenant. And doing the math from the Bible, we come up with about 25 years that he believed God for that son that was promised. And he was promised that son at 75 years or something like 75 years old. How many 75-year-olds are having sons? Well, there may be some around still, but it took another 25 years. So he's 100 plus. Well, how many 100-year-olds are producing sons, right? So the Bible talks about his body already dead, meaning reproductively, and Sarah. Sarah at what, 99 or something, whatever she was, you know. So it was a miracle of God, but they had to believe God for 25 years. Now, I always have the question, and I'm not sure I know completely the answer to this. Are they waiting on God, or is God waiting on them? From what I'm able to put together in the scriptures, I think there's a whole lot more God waiting on them than they waiting on God. Some things take time. And some things look like it's not happening. It's not working. And many people will tell you, if what you're doing isn't working, you got to do something else. Well, not always. It may be you're fighting the good fight of faith, you're standing on the promise, and you're exactly where you need to be, yet it looks like nothing's happening. And we understand, Paul wrote, we walk by faith, not by sight. So sometimes when we look around and say nothing's happening, is that true? It may not be true. We may not be able to see what's happening, but there may be much happening. So here's what I'm going to teach about some today. And here's a title, if you like titles. What is happening when nothing's happening? I don't know about you, but that perks up my ears and, okay, I'm listening. I want to know more. Because, say, for instance, for 3 years, she never spoke a word. Now she speaks. What was happening? Were we just wasting 3 years? No, I believe that God was moving in her and the promise was unfolding over time. Some things unfold quickly, some take time. But it says here in the 12th verse again, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want to show you something interesting about this word patience. Of course, Bible, New Testament, written in the Greek language, common Greek, by the way, not academic Greek. It's for everybody. But the word patience is from two Greek words. It's a compound word. The first part meaning long. Takes a long time. First part means that. And the second part means this. And this is interesting. Angry temper, outbursts of anger, rage, and wrath. So it's long outburst, long anger, long rage, and long wrath. The Greek word patience means you put up with ugly, nasty, anger directed at you, an outburst directed at you, wrath directed at you. Patience is enduring under anger, wrath, outburst directed at you. And you know how that usually trips our trigger. Somebody goes to screaming and yelling at us. Oh, you want to just jump right back up in their face. Isn't that right? To be patient is to be able to deflect it, absorb it, ignore it, whatever you do, that you hold your composure and you keep your mind and your thoughts and your tongue from going there. You know how people say, oh, no, you didn't, meaning go there, so you're going to go there, right? Patience is not going there when someone else went there. Following me? So we receive the promises of God through believing His promise, exercising our faith, and our faith is manifest several ways, but this is one of them, by not going there. Being able to put it aside, deflect it, ignoring it, not answering in kind, not getting anxious and worked up. That's what patience is. And our message 2 weeks ago was about this. That seems to me, from my observation of all these now decades of being a pastor, this is where people make their mistake. They start out well. They receive by faith. They know the promise. And they're all go, go, go in the beginning. But it's the endurance. And they don't understand patience over enough time to see that promise come to pass. Hold their composure until it comes to pass. That is a powerful tool. All of us can receive a promise of God. Not all of us walk it through to its full manifestation. So, what this word actually means is long-suffering. Patience is long-suffering. I don't like suffering. Do you? And I'll admit to you, some experiences we go through are suffering. It's been very, very difficult going through these recent years. My best buddy, my friend, my companion, love of my life, my help, has been not only not able to help me, but has needed my help, our help, constantly. And I have felt, a great sense of loss and suffering through these times. But I'm not to lose my composure or abandon my faith. Keep going. Keep going. In Romans 4, verse 20, that's where it talks about Abraham in King James staggered not, or New King James says, did not waver at the promise of God. This is what faith and patience is. When we talk about those who inherit the promises, Abraham's one of them. Abraham figured out how to not waver at God's promise, which was impossible, physically speaking. We're seeing in Pastor Sandy the impossible coming to pass. It is medically not possible to do the things she's doing, to recover as much as she has recovered. It's medically not possible for her full ability to return. but it is. And I've learned and am continuing to learn to not waver at the promise of God. The same verse in the Passion Translation, Hebrews 6:12. It says, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Don't grow dull. Don't lose your enthusiasm, because we want you, like I, to fully receive what God has promised. And you do that through releasing faith and patient endurance. Same verse again in the Message Bible. Hebrews 6:12 in the Message. It says this, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. I don't know about you, but I intend to get everything promised to me. I've been doing it for years in steps and stages. We've seen victory after victory after victory. And this time in our lives is the greatest test of faith we have ever faced before. We lived in poverty and had babies to graze and all of that, and we learned how to believe God to meet our needs and even move into abundance and even move into what some people would consider wealth. I don't know what you consider wealth, but an abundance anyway. God has well provided for us. We learned how by staying the course, by keeping on going, by not dragging our feet, and we are receiving everything promised to us. Well, if God can work that out and I can receive in the financial realm, I can receive healing in the body. All of these things work the same way. Different subjects, but they work the same way. You, I trust, everyone in the room, learned how to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and be born again and have your place in eternity in the kingdom of God. I submit to you, it's more difficult to believe a promise like that than it is to believe God will meet your needs today. Really? I mean, what evidence do you have? A place you've never been, never seen? But you're born again, aren't you? And most of us say, that was easy. It's just as easy to receive healing in the body. It's just as easy to receive the financial needs being met. Jesus talked about both of these at length. It works the same way. We're here to get everything God's promised us. I had quite a time in the presence of the Lord, a little bit, it was short, but praying concerning Pastor Sandy. Basically, he talked to me about how because we're plowing through, and I told him it's not acceptable that we remain in any deficit after this is all over, that I intend to have the full promise. Walking, talking, driving a car. I'm already talking to her about what kind of car. What kind of car do you want? And I don't know if she fully understands everything, but one thing I know for sure, it's going to be red. She wants a red car. Last night, I asked her, what kind of car you want? She said, Buick. I don't know where that came from. We've always been a Mopar family. But anyway, she's going to drive again. Ask her. She'll tell you. Amen. I intend to get everything promised to me.
Me too.
And we often talk about more faith, more faith, more faith. Jesus said something about faith as a grain of mustard seed. And that was a response to the disciples saying to him, Lord, increase our faith. He didn't say, okay, come here, guys. Increase in Jesus' name, in my name, right? That's not what he did. He reminded them that a little bit of faith would do great things.
That's right.
And if you can have a little bit of faith, you can do great things. What's the difference? It's probably this area we're talking about right here, that patience. Keep on going. Keep on going. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, please. Anybody besides me intend to get everything promised to you?
Yeah.
Ephesians 6:13. It says this, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, add verse 14, stand therefore. Now, it was Bible translators that divided the Bible into chapter and verse. Sometimes in unfortunate places, they make it a new verse. But we would say here, and I think rightly so, we could take this phrase and say it's complete. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. There's a time when you've done all you can do. You've made all the preparations, and this context here is put on the whole armor of God, and he teaches about that in extensive detail. But once you've put on the whole armor, what's it for? It's for the battle. Now the battle comes. What do you do in the battle? In the battle, you stand your ground. Now sometimes we haven't done all to stand, meaning we haven't put on the whole armor, meaning we haven't made all the preparations. But once you've made all the preparations to stand, what is left to do? Stand. How long do you stand? Till it's done. Till you've won. Until we have the victory. You know, I've never been a soldier except in the army of the Lord. But I should have been a fighter pilot. That's what I should have done. Anyway, I enjoy movies, especially historical movies. Civil War, World War II, all of that. Pastor Sandy loves World War II movies. We watched the Battle of Britain this week because her daddy was in World War II. She likes those. So watching wars and so on, particularly things like the Civil War, or even American Revolutionary War, you know the tactics was line up shoulder to shoulder and march into fire. First the cannon and artillery and then the musket fire. And since it was load one at a time, the next thing was the bayonet charge. That's just, how do you do that? And the battlefield is covered in blood. How do men gather the courage to stay, to hold the line, to stay in battle formation? How do you charge an enemy like that? In Israel, everybody serves in the military, male, female. They all do 2 years or something like that. So you have an entire nation that knows how, if a battle came to them, they all have their weapons ready, and in hours they mobilize the whole nation to defend themselves. There may be some value in that. There's a lot of us, we don't understand a fight. Yet life is a fight. Have you figured that out? Yes. How do you hold the line? How do you stand? The Bible talks about, though 1,000 may fall on the one side and 10,000 on the other side, how do you stand when everybody around you is falling? You know the temptation, and it happens, and you movies and all, happens in real life. At some point, the will is broken, and the line breaks down, and people run. This is what we're talking about, holding the line and not running from the battle. Well, I'm not sure about you. I believe I know about you. But I know for me, if I understand what is happening, I can better hold the line. So we're going to talk about what is happening when it looks like nothing is happening. Now, today in battle, you know, with the modern military, there's just about real-time, well, there is. There's real-time communication between various parts of the military. Let's say go to Civil War days where there may be a general and a commander, and he's doing best he can to get messages to these and to those, and coordination is often necessary. But there was great difficulty in getting coordination, and if one side breaks, the other side then loses and all of that. But if you can understand the whole picture of the battle, you'll do better. Isn't that right? So they used to use trumpets, flags, messenger run back and forth, you know, or ride back and forth. One of the battles I'm thinking of is Gettysburg. And if I remember the details properly, maybe Josh will help me with this, but Jeb Stuart, wasn't he the cavalry? And he was supposed to make a particular move around, and if he would have arrived on time, it would have turned the battle. But some communications got fouled up, and the pressure that Jeb Stuart and his cavalry would have made around the backside, the flank, never materialized. And the battle at Gettysburg went the way it went. So knowing the bigger picture, I'm going to attempt to teach you the bigger picture so that you can be more like the commander who might see all. I mentioned that movie, Battle of Britain. I happened to watch that. And they had, I suppose that it was how it was done, but they had this building in London where it had a balcony up around, and the commanders and so on were watching down to a very large map of northern France, the English Channel, watching London. And that was the early days of radar. And the Battle of Britain was Germany coming over the channel to bomb London into submission. And World War II would have been lost right there. Well, they stand up high, and there's rows and rows of people taking phone calls in. And it was reports from ground observers, radar stations, and so on. And they were plotting how many aircraft were coming across the channel and all of that. And the idea is to have the whole overview, know what's going on. And if you can know the whole overview and see all of that, you can make the right moves. So they would call up from England the fighter units from different airfields to meet this challenge and then that challenge. So let's talk about what's going on. What's happening when nothing is happening? There may be more than this, but for today's purposes, I'm going to tell you there are four things happening. One of, two of, three of, or four, all at the same time. You can watch for these things. Four possibilities. Possibility number one, what's happening when nothing's happening? Go to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James 1, 2, we'll read through verse 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, troubles, battles. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Pastor Ricky did, you know. What are we supposed to do when trouble comes? Count it all joy. You say, okay, here we go. This is what we've been training for. The devil's about to take a whooping. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that. There's some things you got to know. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, if patience is such a powerful weapon to receive the promises of God, how do I get patience? There it is. By being tried and tested. You don't have somebody just lay hands on you and say, patience. In the name of Jesus, I impart patience to you. Even if somebody did that, first thing that's going to happen is a test. So you can grow, develop in that, right? But the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work. Patience does a work. Patience is something that's working when it looks like nothing is working. And notice that it's called a perfect work. Keep in mind, in the Greek language, in your Bible, when you see the word perfect, it doesn't mean something that has absolutely no flaw. It might be better translated as maturing, completing. When the Bible says that we are perfect, it means mature. Now, when a person matures, becomes an adult, doesn't mean that they have absolutely no defect. It just means that they have matured and grown to generally a responsible adulthood. So, making it a verb, it would be let patience have its completing, its perfecting, its maturing work. Patience is for maturing us, for growing us, for making us stronger and more complete. So patience is to do a perfecting work. It says that you may be perfect and complete. It's just what we've been talking about, and lacking nothing. So what is the first possibility? What is going on when nothing is going on? God is working something out in me. God is growing me, and that's why it's not finished yet. It may be that something in me needs to change. We may need to grow out of some things, and we may need to grow into some other things. What may we need to grow out of? Well, how about things like this? Grow out of strife. Grow out of bitterness. Grow out of blame shifting. Grow out of unforgiveness towards others. When we harbor unforgiveness towards somebody in our hearts, we paralyze the promise of God. I will never forget one particular evening, getting Sandy ready for bed, putting her to bed, saying goodnight to her, and all of that. We have a two-story house. I've got no way to get her upstairs to our room, so her hospital bed is in our, well, it's a huge living room. There's plenty of room for that, so part of it. And so that has become her bedroom, her home. So I minister to her every night, say goodnight. I go upstairs, and she's downstairs. I was just kind of heartbroken, going through the battle. Lord, I can't believe this kind of thing's happening to my wife and all of that, you know. And I said, now, Lord, and I was about to say something, because I've wondered this. I don't have a full answer yet. How much what you might call bitterness of soul, hurt, is appropriate to pour out before the Lord? Because somewhere it'll move over into just complaining. And I know not to do that. So anyway, I'm about to say it, Lord, and he speaks up in my heart and he says, we're not getting anxious now, are we? And the minute he said that, immediately comes to mind, be anxious for nothing. So I made a real quick change, pivoted on my feet. I said, oh no, we're not anxious about anything, Lord. I just want to thank you. She's alive. She's doing this, she's doing this, she's doing great. She's at home, not in a facility somewhere. And to update, she can speak, she can tell us what she needs. So I knew, you don't go there, you don't go there. That's growth in me. From time to time, people say, you're growing a lot. Yeah, we are. So sometimes when nothing is happening, God is working in you. And before you see this promise come to fulfillment, there's some growing to do. Strife, bitterness, unforgiveness, and so on, we got to grow out of that. You can't have room for that. It's way too damaging. We may need to make some corrections of some kind. Sometimes you got to go ask somebody to forgive you. We need to get the wrong words out of our mouths and the right words into our mouths. Amen. Something happens, what should not come out of your mouth? I can't believe this is happening again. When is this going to stop? This always happens to me. No. It should be something like, we'll overcome this too. God is helping me. We will be victorious. Maybe we sing that song. We have overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you can get happy about it, and that thing can pass. Instead of getting you down for a day, 2 days, a week, 2 months. So getting wrong words out of our mouths and right words in. God's working in me. Then the fulfillment can come. We have to grow in faith. We have to grow in trust. We grow into peace, and we grow into joy. Or perhaps just diligence. Stick with it, stick with it, stick with it. You're one who's never stuck with anything. Well, that's something you got to learn. Stick with it. Diligence. So the first one that God may be doing when it looks like nothing is happening is he's working in you. And he's growing us up and expecting some change. Number two, God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes some things outside of you need to change, move, situations develop. Sometimes other people are involved in God's plan, and God needs to get them on board and moving, and sometimes they don't. And God has to look for someone else. I've heard many testimonies. Pastor Nancy talked about one time something in her relationship with her husband, and the Lord said to her, you were not the first one on my list for her, for his wife. That kind of puts you in your place, right? There may have been another choice but they were unwilling. Let's go to Romans 8, 28, please. It says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, be careful with this verse. It does not say all things are good. Some really bad stuff happens, and that don't make it good. However, God can use bad things and turn it around and work good in us. What we are going through, Pastor Sandy and I, particularly her, there's nothing good about it. Car wrecks, financial loss, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's not good. We're not calling it good, but we know God can turn things and good can come of it. We fully expect, we knew this in advance of Pastor Sandy being injured, she began to move in the healing ministry that was getting more and more powerful. There's a healing anointing upon her. And we fully expect with her recovery far enough along, she will begin ministering to the sick. And let me tell you, from a whole different perspective than from before. And so we're walking that out. God is working this for good. And as we complete and get further along in this walk, we will turn that against the enemy, and we're going to see signs, wonders, miracles, healings come because we've been there, we know, we can testify of the healing power of God. God does the impossible. Amen. Think about Joseph, the 11th son, I believe, of Israel, had these dreams. His brothers hated him, threw him in a pit, sold him as a slave, goes to Potiphar's house, doesn't go so well, gets thrown in prison. He's years and years in prison, a slave, all of that. But God was doing something behind the scenes. Now, Joseph also had God working in him. He learned in that time how to rise above his oppression, how to become productive, fruitful, helpful. But God was working behind the scenes, and then when the right time came and it was ready, Joseph was taken from the prison to second in the nation of Egypt in command. All of that could not have happened without all the hard stuff Joseph went through. Did Joseph feel abandoned by God when his brothers sold him? I promise you, he was tempted to feel that way. Don't know that he did. And by every response that we see from him all the way through, he held his ground. He honored God and behaved himself all the way through. God worked great things in him. God was working behind the scenes. Nobody would have anticipated Joseph was going to become second to Pharaoh in all of Egypt and save the world from famine. God worked all things together for good in Joseph's life. And if we'll ride with him, he's working all things together for good in our lives too. Things that happen to us are not good, but they can be turned for good. Amen. So sometimes God is working behind the scenes. We need to let him finish and fulfill that. There may be situations to develop and to move. There may be people that need to move. Sometimes, I'll go to the extreme, and I'll refer you to the Bible, not anything contemporary. Sometimes certain people have to be eliminated and gotten out of the way. You mean die? In some cases. Now, I'm not saying that you think of your enemy right now who's in the way of things and you wish God just take them. They need to go. If we could do that, I've got a pretty good list. That was intended to be kind of funny. I hope it was. Maybe it was over the line. But God has to develop situations. God has to move people. That parking lot next door, that situation is developing. We've been in this building since 2007. Immediately, the man wanted to sell the parking lot to us because it only makes sense. It needs to be joined back to this building, right? He's an interesting character. And it was just basically ripping us off big time to pay his price. And I basically have said, No, I'm going to put that in the hands of God. And when it's time, and when we're ready for it, and when that situation fully develops, it'll be ours. Amen. So whether God works on him, or God blesses us, and we pay too much money, I don't care which, we're just going to have what God has for us. Amen. So that's the situation developing. Praise the Lord. How long will it take? I don't know. I'm not really worried about that at all, or thinking on that much at all. And I keep telling that parking lot, you'll be there when I need it. When we're ready, we'll take you. Praise the Lord. So God's working something in you. God's working something behind the scenes. Number three, God has something bigger in mind than what you do. And if he gave you what you wanted, it wouldn't be what he wanted. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the resurrection power of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. That's working in us. God is able, God is even desiring to do more above and beyond. Look at those words, exceedingly abundantly. You can tell that the translators are trying to put in English something that in Greek just was blow your mind. Do you know God wants to blow your mind? God wants to do things much bigger, much larger, just mind-blowing. In a measure, I would say that's already happening here for our church. Little old us have built out this building thus far, pretty much cash. Pay as we go. And we continue to get compliments by people who visit the community. Sometimes people just stop if they see me out in the parking lot and say, wow, wow, what you guys have done with this building. I talked to the architect, I think, earlier this week, and I called him up and told him, I don't need anything. I just want to talk to you and see how you're doing. Last fall, he was going through his dad in trouble, and dad ended up passing away. So just friend to friend ministering to him. But he started on, oh, what you guys are doing with that building. You know, that's pleasing to an architect. And for him, he was so blessed. We saved a building. You know how neighborhoods, they call that the broken glass syndrome or something like that? They can go downhill, but if one person will invest in that neighborhood, they can bring that neighborhood back, right? And this building certainly was going in a direction of being trouble and an eyesore. When we moved in, the raccoons had been in here, and a lot of stuff was in not very good shape. And we continue to do work around our place that is exceedingly and abundantly. It's not just get by, and it's not just good enough. We're trying to do it to show the glory of God as much as we can anyway. Our landscape, I want it to be, whoo, that's beautiful. Our advertisement right now is just drive by. You'll see what God is doing, right? Praise the Lord. For many of us, I mean, God gives me vision and I see it and then I build what I see. But a lot of folks have, I'd never imagined it was going to be like that, right? Something beautiful, nice. Whatever we have done in the building, we try to do really, really well. Many times, God wants us to believe bigger, wants us to believe more. He's got more in mind than what we do because he's working bigger things. And we got to catch up. One example I can think of that maybe falls into this category. Years ago, I always wanted to be a pilot, always wanted to have an airplane. And it came up, you know, a Facebook ad my son-in-law saw, you know, that here's these guys trying to sell a share of an airplane. And so here this was. So am I interested? Yeah. And so in talking to this guy, you know, well, you looking to get your, oh, no, I have pilot's license. Well, what kind of flying are you doing and so on? And I was telling him, I'm at a point of going cross-country, going places and so on. I can fly a little bit bigger, better airplanes and so on. And he says, oh, well, you don't want this plane. We're working on another one, and that's why this share is for sale. And this other one was much, much better and more suited to where I was. And so here's a situation where I thought, here it is, airplane I can go for. For one thing, the share was affordable to me. The other one, much better airplane, ooh, I'm going to have to believe God for the money, get together the money. And I wasn't going to affect family budget to buy a share in an airplane. But in short order, God helped me. The money came, put it all together, and I bought a share in a much, much better airplane. So here's a situation where God had, for me, first airplane for me, something much better than the one I was going after. Amen. So sometimes it's not working out because God's trying to get you to believe for more. Now, of course, you can get out ahead of God and become in crazy land. God's trying to get you to believe bigger, better. He's got something better in mind. Amen. And number four possibilities. One may be working, two, three, maybe all four. There's another possibility. The first three would help you keep going. The fourth reveals perhaps the negative side. The fourth possibility is that we have paused or quit believing or compromised or settled for less or settled for a defeat. Well, you win some, you lose some. I guess it wasn't meant to be. Not necessarily true. And if we quit, if we pause, if we say it wasn't meant to be, guess what happens? Nothing. It's on hold. I mentioned Abraham believing God 25 years for that son. I'm not sure, but I suspect there were some pauses along the way in those 25 years. And the Lord would have to go back to him again. There were several appearances of the Lord with Abraham, and he would stir up that promise again. Abraham once said, "Lord, what will you give me?" And the Lord tells him, "Come on out of the tent, boy. Look at the stars. If you can count them, that'll be the number of your descendants." And so Abraham had to get back on board. Now, when I say this, I condemn no one. I have been tempted to quit over and over and over. I have had every reason to say the wrong thing, believe the wrong thing, just stop. Well, she's doing pretty good. This would be good enough. And I have gone to the Lord and said, "Lord, if I fail somehow, if we fail somehow, and this is how she is the rest of our lives, I will take care of her the rest of my life. And I'm thankful for all the progress she's made. But Lord, that's not good enough. And I'm not quitting. And I'm not expecting less. I am pursuing the full manifestation. I have to address myself over and over. Don't you quit. Don't you quit." Let's go to Matthew 14 and verse 28. We'll read through 31. This is the occasion where Jesus told the disciples, go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. He stayed on the mountain to pray, and he was going to join them on the other side. How was he going to get across? He's going to walk on the water. They see Jesus, and one of the occasions, I'm not sure if it's this one, but one of the times they say, "Look, it's a ghost," out on the water, and they were afraid. Jesus tells them, "Fear not, it's me." And then we pick up 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter, are you crazy? He knew if it was the Lord, and from Jesus' teaching, that if Jesus could do it, Peter could do it. I mean, Jesus had been telling them all along, go in, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. So the disciples were taught, do what Jesus does. So Peter believes it. If Jesus can walk on the water, so can I. Only question is that the will of God? Is this Jesus? Or is he seeing some mirage or whatever? Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And I have drawn so much encouragement from this. Jesus didn't say, look, Peter, this is for me to do. You guys can't do what I do. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, Peter, you're overreaching. He doesn't say no. It's a simple one-word answer. What does Jesus say? Come. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. And it says, so he said, come. And when Peter had gone down out of the boat, can you imagine that? Stormy sea, swinging your leg over the side of the boat to get out. Only thing I can relate that to in my own life is this. When the doctors told me she wasn't going to make it, I swung my leg over the boat and I started walking on the water. I started walking on what God said to me, not what medicine said. And the doctors did a good job of isolating me. You're nuts. That's not possible. You can't be right. All of that. I had nothing supporting me except the Word of God. I'll say us. Tammy was with us, whole family. We were together on this. We had nothing but the Lord's promise. So come, when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, do you know that faith is contagious? Sometimes when somebody jumps up in faith, somebody else says, well, if Peter can do it, so can I, and jump out too. Do you know what should have happened? What should have happened is Peter jumped out, then John would jump out, and just every one of them jump out of the boat and started figuring out, maybe the boat sinks, but we don't need a boat. We're going to walk on this word that Jesus said. What should have happened is all of them, and Jesus was obviously making better progress than they were in the boat, rowing against the waves. All of them should have finished the journey just walking on the water to the other side, get another boat. But it's not what happened. Doubt is also contagious. That's why sometimes, boy, you better be careful who you're hanging out with, who you're looking to for advice. There were people when Sandy got hurt that we had to cut out just for right now. In fact, the very first Sunday, many of you were here, when she had this happen, she's in the neurological intensive care. We're with her. I'm not coming back on Sunday for the service. That first Sunday, Lori Temko being our number two at the church right now, I said to her, you get certain people prepped in advance to pray. And don't you allow anybody for that first Sunday. There's no questions. There's no talk. There's no poor Pastor Sandy. Here's what happened. We're going to pray and praise the Lord, and then we're going home. Because doubt is contagious. Fear is contagious. And so we'll have none of that. Amen. Faith is contagious. Doubt is contagious. You got to watch out for those things. So Peter went out and walked on the water. But you know the story. It didn't last. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, means really blowing, big waves crashing, says he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So we're basically going to say this. When you doubt, you begin to sink. And if you're not careful, you'll take that sinking to confirm your doubt and say, see, I knew it wasn't going to work. If you and I pause, quit, it may be that we didn't hear teaching like we're hearing today. It may be that we're not instructed in the Word and really stirred up by those around us. All things are possible to him who believes. And it's normal, humanly speaking, natural, to doubt, to last as long as you can last and then maybe quit, to make some kind of compromise. I mean, people do, Lord, if you'll just make this happen, I'll be happy with that. It's a misunderstanding of contentment, by the way. Paul wrote, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. And you go to picking apart that scripture in the original Greek, and what you will learn is Paul said this, I've learned to be self-sufficient in all circumstances. What do you mean self-sufficient? We're supposed to be dependent on the Lord, not dependent on self. Dig through it a little bit. You find out what he means by contentment is, I have learned how to address and overcome every problem. So to be content in all circumstances means I'm okay because I've learned how to handle this. I've learned how to pursue the victory, and I'll keep going and I'll have my victory. Therefore, I'm not agitated, anxious, and stirred up. That's what Paul means about being content in all circumstances. Trouble comes, and it's here. When she was injured, it was here. And I'm going to either stand up and deal with it, or I'm going to fall apart and lose her. I thank God for all the years of the Word that were put in me, and understanding and knowing that God was not the one who struck her. God was not the one who caused this. God is the healer. He's the redeemer. With long life, I mean, we were prepped. The Lord had me saying, with long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation. Psalm 91, what is it, 16? With long life. So that was our confession. That's what I believe. That's what the Lord told me. He says, whenever you're concerned about your health, take your medicine. What's my medicine? With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Long life without being satisfied is not good. Long life and satisfied. That's good. We went to a restaurant recently, and I ordered a thing and ate it. And I had to say after eating it, well, it sure was better in my mind than it was in my mouth. Then again, I've been to some other places, and it's like, oh, that was so good. When are we coming back? In other words, was I satisfied? Oh, yeah, I was very satisfied. God has made a promise that we be satisfied with our lives, that we come to the closing days and we go, that was good. It really looked touch and go from time to time, and it seemed like, ooh, we're going to crash and burn here. But God helped us. God rescued us. He brought us out. And, oh, it was tough to stick with it, but I stuck with it, and He made it worth my while. Amen. So you may find yourself today on pause. You may find yourself today kind of settled on that for less than what God's best is. You know, you can pick that fight, if you will, back up again. You put it on pause, you can put it back to play. If you've quit, you can start up again. Again, I believe Abraham had a little off and on while he was going toward that son. Hallelujah. Pick up the fight again. Push the play button again. There may be things happening that explain what's going on. God's working behind the scenes. Well, if I just knew what He was doing, well, it's a walk of faith. He wants you to trust Him even when you don't know what He's doing. Well, how do you do that? Well, when you don't know what He's doing, you just pick up Romans 8 and you say, all things work together for good for them that love God, called according to His purpose, and that's me. So whatever's going on and I don't know about it, it's working for my good. Thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. I don't know what's going on, but it's leading to my triumph. And as you're tender before God and He leads you to grow a little bit in this area, stop doing that, start doing this, that's a good thing. I'm getting stronger. I'm growing in character. I'm getting more useful to His kingdom. Or if God's got something bigger, you can say that. You know, I'm not sure what's going on. It could be God's got something bigger and better. I've heard so many testimonies about somebody, particular house they wanted to move into, they were believing God for, and it just didn't work out. It was frustrated, and this didn't work out, and this didn't work out, this didn't work out. And then lo and behold, boom, God put them in something bigger, better than what they thought they needed or wanted. So it can be one of those three things going on. So don't you quit. Don't you quit. Just God's working in me. God's working behind the scenes. God's got big plans. And I am going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Now, even if something knocks you back a step or two, regain your composure, regain your balance, go again. God's working out something in you, God's working behind the scenes, and He's got great things ahead for you, so keep going. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I helped you, but I helped myself. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and thank you for your word, for your guidance, for your autopilot. Thank you for your help. And Lord, may these words help us in the coming days and weeks, and we shall surely break out, and we shall surely see victory if we do not quit. What is it that you said, Lord? Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. If we don't quit, we'll see the blessing. We'll see the promise. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is working. God is working. I'll be okay, even though I don't know what's going on. Even though it seems like nothing's going on. Oh, it's going on. Oh, it is. Amen. Amen. Great things are coming. Great things are happening. A move of God is coming. I believe that with all my heart. We know our nation needs it. We believe, and we're getting ready for it. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.